This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, Commanders fans? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Start of training camp next week. We're talking about it right now here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you're enjoying the show, you can check me out on the Odyssey app for free. Just search 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday in Richmond, Virginia. Or support the show by checking out the podcast, Best of AWOD Radio, is available for you every single day on your ride home. Just search AWOD Radio anywhere you get your podcast app, the Odyssey app, iTunes, or Spotify. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Just threw the question out there. Rank the Washington Commanders' training camp position battles based on importance. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We're talking about the fact that I am disappointed. I had to tell my dad he can't go out to training camp. It's already sold out. And Brian tweets me, AWOD, you're right. The old days with Spurrier and Gibbs had 20-plus practice days, including two-a-days for fans. Training camp now is essentially the new mini camp. The players stay at home and hardly any padded practices. That's a great point. And Rick Snyder brought it to my attention this week. 10 years ago, the amount of teams that had practice for training camp outside of their actual training facilities was 14. That had it at their actual facilities was 14. Now it's 24. So basically, in the last 10 years, All the teams have decided, most of them, that they're staying around their facilities, and it's not as good for the fans. It's just not. But we're talking about the training camp position battles. And so when you're talking about the position battles, and phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Now's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment. I think we have to talk about what we already know. What position groups do we as Commanders fans feel good about as a fan base right now? Quarterback number one, right? We've got our guy in Jaden. He's not going to lose his job in training camp to Marcus Mariota. That's not happening. They haven't announced him as the starter. I expect that to happen probably after preseason game number one. He'll be the starter for week one, and I'm excited about Jaden. I know the fan base is excited for Jaden. So in terms of position battles, quarterback, not one. We feel good about Jaden Daniels. Second, middle linebacker. ESPN's Mike Clay voted best middle linebacker group in the NFL to be Washington, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu. So we feel good about middle linebacker. For the first time in years, no more do we have to watch David slow as Mayo Mayo. Cody can't tackle Barton. Now it's Bobby Wagner who led the NFL in tackles last year, and Frankie Louvu, who is a heavy hitter. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. Defensive tackle, we feel good about that. There's not really a battle going on. It's Jonathan Allen. It's Daron Payne. And eventually, Johnny Newton will be part of that team once he's healthy. But Fedarian Mathis, this is a big season for him. John Ridgeway also still on the roster. Wide receiver is not one that I would talk about as a position battle because we know the number one is Terry McLaurin. We know they want the number two to be Jahan Dotson. Number three is up for grabs. Maybe it's Luke McCaffrey. But I think when you talk about the wide receiver group, I think the Commanders, that front office, I think they feel better about the wide receiver group than maybe the fan base does, because the fan base wants Brandon Ayuk, or they want the talent that is Brandon Ayuk, right? If you could get him, get him. That's what I would say. I'm just not giving up a first-round pick for him, right? And of course, he's going to want to get paid. I'm not sure that we can afford him. But I think the fan base knows, hey, we could use a guy like Brandon Ayuk to help Jaden Daniels, but I think the front office is going to give every chance to Jahan Dotson to be that guy, to develop into a playmaker this season. So I wouldn't point to wide receiver at all as a position battle. So we'll get to my five position battles ranked on importance. Number five, Donald, tell me what you think about this, because they've changed the kickoffs this year, and I think kick return is going to be more important to change the field position, and same with punt returner. Last year, it was Jamison Crowder, and he ended up being one of the best offseason acquisitions, and we got him, like, after preseason. It wasn't even during training camp. So number five for me, position battle, is the return game. Who's going to win the job to be the kick returner and the punt returner? Does that make sense to you, Donald? Is something that you think is important this training camp?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there's that third side of the ball that people don't talk about a lot, which is special teams. And like you said and just alluded to with the new rules and things like that, we'll see how those come into play this season, but I think it's going to prove to be a very, very important position for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, NFL coaches are such nerds and such, like, football enthusiasts that I know that all the special team coaches around the league have probably watched every kickoff from the XFL last year, right? They're trying to get every little bit of strategy that's possible, because that is going to change the game, because it's not going to be anymore where you just kick it off and through the end zone and take the ball to 25. They've changed that. And so there's going to be more strategy with how you kick off, how you set up your return team, how you set up your blocking. You know, there was guys like Cordarrelle Patterson getting contracts this offseason, and other guys because of how much they can impact the game at that position. We had Emmanuel Forbes practicing punt returns. Hey, if he's elusive, give him a shot. I think number five of position battles, ranked on importance, I'm excited about the return game. Who's going to win that job? Number four, we've talked about it already. For me, it is tight end. It's a very interesting tight end group. We've been talking about the four guys, Ben Sennett, Cole Turner, Bates, and Zach Ertz. There's going to be others, undrafted rookies, guys that were on the practice squad last year. They're going to compete to try to make the team at tight end. And the reason tight end is number four on my position battles ranked in terms of importance is because I don't think we really know who's going to lead this team in catches from the tight end position. I don't think it's going to be Zach Ertz. I really don't. Number three, it has to be edge rusher in my mind. Chase Young, Montez Sweat no longer here. In comes Cleveland Farrell. In comes Dorrance Armstrong. A few other guys that are going to compete. And that position is wide open to be the starter, right? Dorrance Armstrong was a complimentary piece last year in Dallas that had a lot of success. Cleveland Farrell's similar to Chase Young, drafted high, but hasn't reached his expectations. I think that that's a wide-open position, that one of those two guys or someone we haven't even mentioned could win the starting defensive end job. And maybe Frankie Louvu or Jamin Davis are lining up as an edge rusher at times this season. Edge rusher is going to be a very important position battle in my mind. Number two, I looped these together, corner and safety. It's the entire secondary. The offensive line was bad last season, probably the worst position group, secondary second in my mind. I loved Kendall Fuller from his time at Virginia Tech and the first time he was with Washington. Not sure we should have ever brought him back. It just didn't work out. He was too slow, not good enough. Benjamin St. Juice, I'm praying that better coaching can make him better, because it feels like he's got the NFL prototype body to play corner. He's tall enough, he's fast enough, he's strong enough, but he feels the need to grab onto jerseys and pull arms and basically cheat to get himself in a position to make a play on the ball. And I'm hoping that better coaching will coach that out of his game, and that maybe he can make some plays on the ball and be an impactful player at corner. Of course, Emmanuel Forbes. Does he end up part of the starting lineup? I don't think so. Not after he was benched last season. I think Mike Sanrizzo is going to get an opportunity. Michael Davis as well, who they brought in. Secondary is going to be important. Quan Martin's been getting a lot of talk throughout minicamp. Is he going to be a starting safety alongside Jeremy Chinn? Because I'm locking Jeremy Chinn in as one of the starting safeties. And if you saw the team play last year, you might think Derek Forrest should get a shot to be the starting safety. And then the number one thing is, of course, the offensive line. If Brandon Coleman is serviceable at left tackle, then they did a very good job in the draft, and maybe they'll need to draft the left tackle next year. Right tackle's still going to be an issue. Andrew Wiley was so bad last year, he couldn't block anyone, and the offensive line just didn't give us enough time for these longer developing routes that Eric Bieniemy wanted in his offense. It's going to be different with Cliff Kingsbury, but the success of Jaden Daniels partially will ride on the offensive line giving him the ability to sit back and go through his progressions and make the right choice. And so my training camp position battles ranked on importance: 5, the return game, punt and kick return; 4, tight end; 3, edge rusher; 2, the entire secondary; and 1, the offensive line. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. I'm live and local here on 12 noon, here till 12 noon on the Fan and the Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. Don't change that dial. I'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Wake up, Washington. 1 week till training camp for your 2024-2025 Washington Commanders. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. We wanted to focus in on the rookies for your Washington Commanders right now. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If you call in, Donald will get you on hold, and you can chime in. So, of course, your 2024 draft class for the Washington Commanders, I gave it a draft class grade of an A. I know a lot of people around NFL circles gave it a B+ or an A. The only issue was maybe not a left tackle, because Brandon Coleman technically listed it as a guard from TCU. But I really liked this draft class. I'm excited to see them in action next week in Ashburn. And so we start with quarterback Jaden Daniels. Round 1, taken 2 overall, your Heisman Trophy winner. So much speed, so much ability. 2 things that stood out to me from his days at LSU. 1, the amount of yards that he rushed for last season, and the fact that he had more deep ball touchdowns, throws of 30 or more yards to the end zone, than any quarterback in college football, and it was 9 more of those throws than Caleb Williams, who went 1 overall. Caleb was the Heisman Trophy winner 2 years ago, but Jaden won it last year, and Jaden probably had the better season between the two quarterbacks last year. Then it was Jerzon Newton, Johnny Newton, because of a trade. He will not be participating in training camp until he is taken off of the non-football injury list. Mike Sanristil, 2, pick 50, quarterback out of Michigan, captain. 2, pick 53. Remember these back-to-back picks? Ben Sennett, tight end out of Kansas State. Brandon Coleman was 3, 2 3 picks was Brandon Coleman, and then wide receiver Luke McCaffrey. I've heard a lot of really good things about 5, pick 139, Jordan McGee, the linebacker out of Temple. When Dominique Hampton was drafted in 5, I was excited as well. Safety out of Washington, a captain for a team that made it, you know, deep in the college football playoffs. And then Javonte Jean-Baptiste, the edge rusher from Notre Dame. So the question we have right now is, which rookie will look most NFL-ready in training camp? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I do not think the answer is going to be Jaden Daniels. I've got high expectations for Jaden Daniels. I want him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's my goal for Jaden, is to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, to beat out Caleb Williams, to beat out Drake May, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, all those other guys, to look like the best quarterback from the draft class. That's my goal for him. And I know his goal, he said on reports, is to do what the Commanders haven't done in 4 years, win the damn division, win the NFC East. I think that's a great team goal for him. And I like how he's team-oriented. But I don't know that he's going to be the rookie that looks most NFL-ready in training camp. I think he's going to make some mistakes. I think there's going to be early reports about him trying to fit the ball into too tight of a window. You know, I think the argument could be made that he was playing with more talent in the wide receiver group last year at LSU, with Malik Nabers going in the first round and LSU having so many good wide receivers, so many good playmakers last season. This year it's Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson as his number one and two. I think you're going to see Jaden maybe have a turnover or two in preseason, have some mistakes in training camp. Maybe it's fumbling the ball. Like I said, maybe it's trying to fit it into too small of a window. Maybe it's hanging on to the ball too long. That's the biggest issue for a lot of young quarterbacks in the NFL. And Sam Howell last year's, they held on to the ball, and it's like they're clapping the ball, right? They keep taking one hand off of it and they put it back on because they're just kind of scared to pull the trigger, and they hold on to it, and wait till somebody's wide open. That was Justin Fields' biggest issue. Every time I've seen him play, it's like he's scared to finally pull that trigger and throw the ball, and that's why Chicago has moved on from him. So I don't think the answer is Jane Daniels, which rookie will look most NFL-ready in training camp. I think it could be Luke McCaffrey. Like, honestly, Jane Daniels going up there at 5 a.m. at training camp, who's joining him? Luke McCaffrey. Didn't even ask, can I join you? Just, hey, I'll see you there. You know, he comes from a family pedigree in the NFL. You know, Ed McCaffrey, his father, Christian McCaffrey. He's also learning the position new, so that's why he probably won't look the most NFL-ready player right away in terms of the rookies. But he's going to have an opportunity, I think, to be involved in the offense this year because we really don't have a great slot wide receiver. Jamison Crowder is old. So it could be him. I would love it to be Brandon Coleman. That would be just so spectacular if it could be him. But I think the answer I'm going to choose here is Mike Sanwer still, captain at Michigan. Captain at Michigan. Interception in the championship game for the championship-winning team. A playmaker throughout his entire career, right? Started on the offensive side of the ball, wide receiver. Incredible to make the transition to the defensive side of the ball and be a team captain. A ball hawk. I think Mike Sanders still is going to say to Joe Witt Jr., put me in, coach. I'm ready. I think there's a chance that he is the most NFL-ready rookie in training camp for the Commanders when it begins next week, because he's got the experience. You know, size is an issue for him, but it wasn't when you saw the highlights. Like, a guy his size shouldn't be able to hit that hard. You know, shouldn't be able to make up ground on a deep ball that quickly. I think he's really going to show off the hands. And so in terms of rookies who are going to look most NFL-ready in training camp, if Mike Sanders still gets his hands on an interception or two, yeah, that is going to be the choice of who's the rookie that looks most NFL ready. I am very excited. And once again, he's the guy that this coaching staff was so excited for. You know, they had their pick at the top three corners. Cooper DeJean, right? They traded back. They were not interested. He was their guy. They got him round two, pick number 50. And I think he is going to be the rookie that makes the biggest impact right away here in training camp when he begins next week. I'll put Ben Sinnott number two, Ben Sinnott. I just think, man, the catches he made last year at Kansas State, he's got the hands, really is going to impress people, I think, early on as a blocker, right? So many highlights of him last year was leading the way for his running back as either a fullback or a tight end. I think the fact that he's blocking ready, the fact that he might be catching ready, and the fact that it's not known who's going to be the number one tight end with Zach Ertz right now number one on the depth chart, and he just hasn't been that good in the last 3 years. He's fallen off and gotten old. Ben Sinnott could come in right away and be an impactful rookie and really impress people and look NFL ready as a rookie at training camp. Ton of new additions for this Washington Commanders team that I'm looking forward to checking out. Number one is Austin Ekeler, and there was a bunch of headlines made about Austin Ekeler this offseason. Tiki Barber chimed in. How does this guy not want 300 touches? Austin Ekeler shot back. Dude, I haven't had 300 touches my entire career. He came to Washington on purpose. I love that, right? He wants to play for Washington. He wants to wear the Commander's jersey, the burgundy and gold. He wants to play with Anthony Lynn again. He wants to be part of a tandem running back duo. He wants to be a two-headed snake here in the backfield for Washington. There's so many and he's got a chip on his shoulder too, right? All the talk of he's over the hill. He can't do it. He didn't earn, he hasn't earned this veteran stake here in the NFL where he should be viewed as a guy that gets paid as much as he gets paid. I think Austin Eckler's got a huge chip on his shoulder, and he's going to be great this season, and it's going to be an awesome backfield with him and Brian Robinson Jr. It's the most anticipated training camp for me personally in 12 years. Fired up to get out there in Ashburn and see it firsthand. Give everybody the eye test. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the Odyssey app. Today is July 20th, 2024. 11:30 a.m., July 20th, 2024. It's been 365 days of Dan Snyder free football. Yes, that's because 1 year ago today marks the day the NFL owners officially approved the $6.05 billion sale of the Commanders from Dan Snyder to Josh Harris. The Commanders are no longer owned by Dan Snyder after a special session took place 1 year ago today. As we honor that day, let's take a listen to Adam Schefter, who was at the special meetings that were held on a Thursday, July 20th, 2023.
It just came through. The sale is unanimous. It now has been approved. Josh Harris has officially purchased the Washington Commanders from Dan Snyder for $6.05 billion. His owners stream out of the room. The vote just came down. The deal still is not officially closed. They have until August 1st to close that deal, but the vote has been unanimous, and Josh Harris has been approved as the new owner of the Washington Commanders.
So there you heard it. It's been 365 days. It's been a good year. It's exciting. Now expectations are growing as the fan base gets excited for the start of this new era, right? New owner, new GM, new coaching staff, new quarterback, new middle linebacker, new tight end, new safety, new edge rusher, new running back, new everything for the Washington Commanders. Now you're starting to see national pundits starting to take notice as it's been fun. It's been a good year for Josh Harris, but now there are no more excuses when player grades come back. We can't have Fs anymore on our report card. The fan experience must improve at FedEx Field. I'll give them a pass for this year's training camp next year. Better not see this thing get sold out. It's just unbelievable. And only 5 days for fans to go. So next year, it's got to get better there. But you're seeing national pundits are starting to take notice of this Washington Commanders team with the start of the new era. So I wanted to play this clip of Booger McFarland on ESPN earlier this week talking about the rookie quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round.
Don't be surprised if midway through the season we're having a conversation very similar to what we had last year, meaning the number two pick, Jaden Daniels, looks better than the number one pick, Caleb Williams, just like we had last year with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, because there are a lot of people out of Washington telling me that this young man, Jaden Daniels, not only does he look the part, his teammates know he looked the part. And I think Caleb Williams is going to struggle, and I think Jaden Daniels is going to come out the gate flying. And we're going to have this conversation, Greeny. Mark it down, July the 16th, whatever it is, it's 100 degrees. Did the Chicago Bears make the right pick? We're going to have this conversation again.
Look good, feel good. Jaden Daniels doing everything right now. I don't personally think that we're going to have a conversation in the middle of the season that the Bears made a mistake with Caleb Williams. He's a local kid. If you've been listening to the show, you know I wanted Caleb. I'm all in on Caleb being a Pro Bowler within his first four seasons in the NFL. I expect that to happen. If it doesn't, you're not going to hear me breaking down quarterbacks anymore. I put my NFL quarterback evaluation status on the line. Caleb will be a Pro Bowler. But I do think Caleb can be good and Jaden can be good. I don't think it's going to be like last year where the number one overall quarterback just sucks. He's awful. He should lose his job in Bryce Young. And the number two quarterback takes the lead by storm and gets into the postseason. I'm not sure that both Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels see the postseason for the first 2 years in the NFL. Now, there's bigger expectations for Caleb, number one overall pick, and his team won 7 games last year. For Jaden, they won 4. And the expectation is to get to 7, get 3 wins above the quarterback from last season being Sam Howell. But, that's one pundit right there. Believing in Jaden Daniels could be looking better than Caleb. All the reports are coming out of Washington. I love it. He acts like a pro. He's doing all the right things, and he's impressing his teammates so far. He's going to have to keep impressing them when training camp begins next week. But Colin Coward went even further when talking about the Commanders and ranking the entire NFC East. Let's roll the tape from the herd.
Let's go to the NFC, where Philadelphia easily the best roster in the division. Nick Sirianni, did he hire better assistants? They started last year 10-1, then they fell off a cliff. I think they rebound. Maybe not a Super Bowl team, but very good. I'm going to go with Washington, new coach, new OC, new quarterback, Woo-hoo-hoo! New owner. I think they use that energy and juice to catapult. I think they're the surprise team in the NFL, Washington, second. Dallas is a very viable third, but I think they're top heavy and overly dependent on Dak and CeeDee Lamb to carry the entire offense. Giants, just not good enough at quarterback. I pick them fourth. NFC playoff teams, Eagles, Falcons, Lions, Rams, Niners, Commanders, Packers are wild card teams, but only 2 new playoff teams. So the problem I have, only 3 new playoff teams in the AFC, only 2 new playoff teams in the NFC. I'm at 5, the average is 7.
It's been a good year. I'm excited. And you just heard Colin Coward quote, I think they're the surprise team in the NFL, Washington second in the NFC East. And when he revealed his entire NFC playoffs, it included the Washington Commanders as a wild card team. I think that's a little bit wild. I don't think the expectation should be to get to the wild card. But I've said all offseason, there is a path to 9 or 10 wins if everything goes right, if Adam Peters is as good as a talent evaluator as we've been given him credit for, then the talent that he brought in will be seen by all, and this team will be successful. But I actually do completely agree with him on his breakdown of the NFC East. I just think the Eagles are there to have a good season. There's a lot of pressure on Nick Sirianni. But my goodness, Jalen Hurts has so many good weapons at wide receiver. Dallas Goedert's a spectacular tight end because he can block and catch. And if Saquon stays healthy, the Eagles win the division easily. NFC East hasn't had back-to-back champs since 2003-04 when the Eagles did it with McNabb. Last year, late run at the end of the season, Cowboys jumped the Eagles, win the division. It'll be Eagles 1 this year. I think it's cool he puts Washington 2. I do think that we can compete with Dallas. We stole their coach. I think they're going to take a big step back defensively in terms of how many turnovers they force. And I think he's right that it's Dak and CeeDee Lamb, and that's about it offensively for them, in my mind. Ezekiel Elliott, is he going to have the Fountain of Youth coming back to Dallas once again? I don't think so. Ferguson at tight. I really don't like the Cowboys, and I don't like Mike McCarthy, and I don't think Dak Prescott is that great. He might be pretty good for the NFC, but the NFC lacks a lot of good quarterbacks. I think Jaden could have a better season than Dak in terms of production. And then the Giants, they're terrible. They're awful. They paid Daniel Jones. They're kind of forced to use him, even though he hasn't proven it in the last 17 games. I get it. Before that, there was a lot of momentum. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game, and then he was bad all season. And Tyrod Taylor won a game, and Tommy DeVito beat the Commanders. And so after watching Hard Knocks offseason, I kind of think that either Brian Daboll or the GM loses his job at the end of the season for the New York Giants. This is a Commanders team with everything new. New era, new owner, new GM, new coaching staff, new quarterback, new middle linebackers, new tight end, new safety, new edge rusher, new running back. I'm sure I'm missing some more new here in Washington. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We'll close out AWOD Radio here on a Saturday morning. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. I appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning routine, whether you're running around, running some errands, picking your kids up from soccer practice or something like that, or maybe you've got a game later today. We appreciate you tuning in to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. And we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And on the Odyssey app, if you are enjoying the show, that's where you can support me during the week. It's easy. Just search 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday from Richmond, Virginia, live and local from 12 to 3 p.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the Odyssey app. Today is July 20th, 2024. 11:30 a.m., July 20th, 2024. It's been 365 days of Dan Snyder free football. Yes, that's because 1 year ago today marks the day the NFL owners officially approved the $6.05 billion sale of the Commanders from Dan Snyder to Josh Harris. The Commanders are no longer owned by Dan Snyder after a special session took place 1 year ago today. As we honor that day, let's take a listen to Adam Schefter, who was at the special meetings that were held on a Thursday, July 20th, 2023.
It just came through. The sale is unanimous. It now has been approved. Josh Harris has officially purchased the Washington Commanders from Dan Snyder for $6.05 billion. His owners stream out of the room. The vote just came down. The deal still is not officially closed. They have until August 1st to close that deal, but the vote has been unanimous, and Josh Harris has been approved as the new owner of the Washington Commanders.
So there you heard it. It's been 365 days. It's been a good year. It's exciting. Now expectations are growing as the fan base gets excited for the start of this new era, right? New owner, new GM, new coaching staff, new quarterback, new middle linebacker, new tight end, new safety, new edge rusher, new running back, new everything for the Washington Commanders. Now you're starting to see national pundits starting to take notice, as it's been fun. It's been a good year for Josh Harris, but now there are no more excuses when player grades come back. We can't have Fs anymore on our report card. The fan experience must improve at FedEx Field. I'll give them a pass for this year's training camp. Next year, better not see this thing get sold out. It's just unbelievable. And only 5 days for fans to go. So next year, it's got to get better there. But you're seeing national pundits are starting to take notice of this Washington Commanders team with the start of the new era. So I wanted to play this clip of Booger McFarland on ESPN earlier this week talking about the rookie quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round.
Don't be surprised if midway through the season we're having a conversation very similar to what we had last year, meaning the number two pick, Jaden Daniels, looks better than the number one pick, Caleb Williams, just like we had last year with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, because there are a lot of people out of Washington telling me that this young man, Jaden Daniels, not only does he look the part, His teammates know he looked the part. And I think Caleb Williams is going to struggle. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to come out the gate flying. And we're going to have this conversation, Greeny. Mark it down. July the 16th, whatever it is, it's 100 degrees. Did the Chicago Bears make the right pick? We're going to have this conversation
again. Look good, feel good. Jaden Daniels doing everything right now. I don't personally think that we're going to have a conversation in the middle of the season that the Bears made a mistake with Caleb Williams. He's a local kid. If you've been listening to the show, you know I wanted Caleb. I'm all in on Caleb being a Pro Bowler within his first four seasons in the NFL. I expect that to happen. If it doesn't, you're not going to hear me breaking down quarterbacks anymore. I put my NFL quarterback evaluation status on the line. Caleb will be a Pro Bowler. But I do think Caleb can be good and Jaden can be good. I don't think it's going to be like last year where the number one overall quarterback just sucks. He's awful. He should lose his job in Bryce Young. And the number two quarterback takes the lead by storm and gets into the postseason. I'm not sure that both Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels see the postseason for the first 2 years in the NFL. Now, there's bigger expectations for Caleb, number one overall pick, and his team won 7 games last year. For Jaden, they won 4. And the expectation is to get to 7, get 3 wins above the quarterback from last season being Sam Howell. But, that's one pundit right there. Believing in Jaden Daniels could be looking better than Caleb. All the reports are coming out of Washington. I love it. He acts like a pro. He's doing all the right things, and he's impressing his teammates so far. He's going to have to keep impressing them when training camp begins next week. But Colin Coward went even further when talking about the Commanders and ranking the entire NFC East. Let's roll the tape from the herd.
Let's go to the NFC, where Philadelphia easily the best roster in the division. Nick Sirianni, did he hire better assistants? They started last year 10-1. Then they fell off a cliff. I think they rebound. Maybe not a Super Bowl team, but very good. I'm going to go with Washington. New coach, new OC, new quarterback, Woo-hoo-hoo! New owner. I think they use that energy and juice to catapult. I think they're the surprise team in the NFL, Washington, second. Dallas is a very viable third, but I think they're top-heavy and overly dependent on Dak and CeeDee Lamb to carry the entire offense. Giants, just not good enough at quarterback. I pick them fourth. NFC playoff teams, Eagles, Falcons, Lions, Rams, Niners, Commanders, Packers are wild card teams, but only 2 new playoff teams. So the problem I have, only 3 new playoff teams in the AFC, only 2 new playoff teams in the NFC. I'm at 5. The average is 7.
It's been a good year. I'm excited. And you just heard Colin Coward, quote, I think they're the surprise team in the NFL, Washington second in the NFC East. And when he revealed his entire NFC playoffs, it included the Washington Commanders as a wild card team. I think that's a little bit wild. I don't think the expectation should be to get to the wild card. But I've said all offseason, there is a path to 9 or 10 wins if everything goes right, if Adam Peters is as good as a talent evaluator as we've been given him credit for, then the talent that he brought in will be seen by all, and this team will be successful. But I actually do completely agree with him on his breakdown of the NFC East. I just think the Eagles are there to have a good season. There's a lot of pressure on Nick Sirianni. But my goodness, Jalen Hurts has so many good weapons at wide receiver. Dallas Goedert's a spectacular tight end because he can block and catch. And if Saquon stays healthy, the Eagles win the division easily. NFC East hasn't had back-to-back champs since 2003-04 when the Eagles did it with McNabb last year. Late run at the end of the season, Cowboys jump the Eagles, win the division. It'll be Eagles 1 this year. I think it's cool he puts Washington 2. I do think that we can compete with Dallas. We stole their coach. I think they're going to take a big step back defensively in terms of how many turnovers they force. And I think he's right that it's Dak and CeeDee Lamb, and that's about it offensively for them, in my mind. Ezekiel Elliott, is he going to have the Fountain of Youth coming back to Dallas once again? I don't think so. Ferguson at tight. I really don't like the Cowboys, and I don't like Mike McCarthy, and I don't think Dak Prescott is that great he might be pretty good for the NFC, but the NFC lacks a lot of good quarterbacks. I think Jaden could have a better season than Dak in terms of production. And then the Giants, yeah, I mean, they're terrible. They're awful. They paid Daniel Jones. They're kind of forced to use him, even though he hasn't proven it in the last 17 games. I get it. Before that, there was a lot of momentum. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game, and then he was bad all season. And Tyrod Taylor won a game, and Tommy DeVito beat the Commanders. And so if after watching Hard Knocks offseason, I kind of think that either Brian Daboll or the GM loses his job at the end of the season for the New York Giants. This is a Commanders team with everything new. New era, new owner, new GM, new coaching staff, new quarterback, new middle linebackers, new tight end, new safety, new edge rusher, new running back. I'm sure I'm missing some more new here in Washington. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We'll close out AWOD Radio here on a Saturday morning. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. I appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning routine, whether you're running around, running some errands, picking your kids up from soccer practice or something like that, or maybe you've got a game later today. We appreciate you tuning in to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. And we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And on the Odyssey app, if you are enjoying the show, that's where you can support me during the week. It's easy. Just search 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday from Richmond, Virginia, live and local from 12 to 3 p.m. On the Odyssey app, you can rewind, run some errands, pause the show, and then pick up right where you left off. And so you can use the Odyssey app to check me out every day. We post the podcast available every day as well on the Odyssey app. So that's where you can check me out. And next week, I'm headed to Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2024 ACC kickoff. And this year is going to be a big one. 5 live shows from Charlotte, North Carolina, because the ACC has 3 new schools, Stanford, Cal, and SMU. And so I wanted to do a quick ACC preview and talk a little Hokies right now with University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
College football, baby!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So, Donald, when I say the cream of the crop, when I say the top school, the top university in the ACC, who's the first team that comes to mind for you? Would you say the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Sweeney? I think that's probably the answer most people would say. I kind of think that Clemson has fallen off in my mind. Now, last year they went 9-4. They snapped a streak of 12 straight seasons with double-digit wins, all right? But 3 of their 4 losses came by one possession. What I don't like about Clemson this year is that Dabo has decided that NIL and the transfer portal is not for him. It's not for him. It's not the way he expects to run things in Clemson. Everybody's taking transfer portal guys. Clemson took in zero transfer portal guys. So they're still the best team in the ACC, but I just am not sure how long they can hold on to that top spot, taking in only newcomers as freshmen out of high school. Number 2 on most people's ACC preview will be Florida State. Now, head coach Mike Norvell doesn't have to replace 10 NFL draft picks and replace his quarterback from last year, but they brought in the former Clemson back, DJ Ugalele, who is really talented. I mean, to be a big recruit, to get the starting job at Clemson as a freshman, you got to be good. It didn't work out. And now, of course, he will have his eyes set on beating Clemson this season. NC State surprised some people last year. I think they're going to be good. And then this could be the year for Miami. I do not believe it is, as I have Virginia Tech coming in as the 4th best team, and I think they could compete for an ACC title. That's because the Hokies avoid playing Florida State, and when they play Clemson, they get to do it in their backyard there in Blacksburg, and opens the door for Virginia Tech to possibly be a dark horse in the league, because Coach Brent Pry has a lot of momentum. This is year three, and he returns a ton of talented players on both sides of the ball. Most important, they've got their quarterback returning in Kyron Drones. And I've enjoyed covering the Hokies the last few years. I grew up a Hokies fan watching Michael Vick, Marcus Vick, Tyrod Taylor, Logan Thomas, and they've got another dual-threat quarterback in Kyron Drones. And so the Baylor transfer finally got a job last year after Grant Wells went down with an injury. Even though all offseason I said, why would you start Grant Wells, Coach Pry? He did nothing for you the previous season. Year one with Coach Pry was a disaster. They didn't have their quarterback. The defense was all over the place, and they were not winning games, losing out-of-conference games like losing to ODU. Not a good way to start your tenure in charge of Virginia Tech, which should be the best football school in the state of Virginia and maybe the best football school in the DMV. They should be. They've got that pedigree from their past. But year two, he makes the change to Kyron Drones, and then boom, the offense explodes because of his dual threat capability, and tailback Bashal Tootin was spectacular. Tootin had 863 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's their workhorse back. He returns. They bring back their starting wide receiving core. They bring back a tight end, Nick Gallo, who was hurt for most of last season. They bring back so much talent on the offensive side of the ball. They hit the transfer portal to improve on the defensive side of the ball. This really could be a year in which the Hokies compete for an ACC title. They are building something. There's some serious momentum in Blacksburg, and I'm looking forward to talking with Coach Pry and Kyron Drones next week on AWOD Radio. But the receiving core, Ali Jennings was hurt for most of last year, but he was a star at ODU and then transferred to Virginia Tech. Jalen Lane was the best wide receiver last year, probably, and then Steven Gosnell comes back as well. I think the question mark for the Hokies is the defensive line. Secondary, Dorian Strong is spectacular. He was, I think he was ranked one of the top 30 cornerbacks in college football by EA Sports. They also have Delaney as the other cornerback there. That's a good tandem that they've got there. Pretty good about linebacker, bringing in Sam Brunfeld. We'll see what happens here with the defensive line, but the Hokies' defense last year, the biggest issue was explosive plays. It was just like watching the Commanders. Their defense would do well, and then third down, they'd give up a 30-yard run, right? Or second and short, they'd give up a 30-yard pass. And it was those explosive plays that doomed them in a lot of games last year, but they still ended the season very strong, and they've got a favorable schedule. That's what's getting me the most excited about the Hokies this year, is they can come into ACC play undefeated. It's absolutely possible. Absolutely possible. So when you look at their schedule, it begins with a decently tough game against Vanderbilt on the road in Nashville, Tennessee. Then it's Marshall, who's tripped them up in the past, but you get them this year in Blacksburg. Then you go to ODU. That's been an issue in the past, but ODU's football team's not going in the right direction now. They have a new coach. And then it's Rutgers. Like, Hokies fans can dream about a solid season if they get to ACC play undefeated, 4-0. They haven't done that in the last 5, 6, 7 years. They've been tripped up in one of these early games. And then when they come to ACC play, it really gets started with a tough matchup. It will be a primetime game on ESPN from Hard Rock Stadium as the U hosts the Hokies. That'll be September 27th. Weird seeing Stanford on the road as their next ACC game before they return home for two must-win games, Boston College and Georgia Tech. But I do think that Hokies fans can dream of 8-9 wins this season. I don't think they get to 10. That'd be spectacular. But I think you can dream of 8 or 9 wins this season. And then another offseason where Coach Pry does a really good job of recruiting inside the state of Virginia. And that was his pitch to Blacksburg, right? Was, we got to get back to the way where we dominated the Tidewater area. We dominated the D.C. area. We knew all about the best players in the entire East Coast, and they wanted to play in Blacksburg for Virginia Tech. And so I've got high expectations for this season, but it's just good to see him building something there. Whereas the other school in the ACC that I cover, UVA, it's all over the place. And I kind of think Coach Tony Elliott is on the hot seat and could lose his job if he doesn't have positive momentum this season. Coach Elliott at UVA, Coach Pryor at Virginia Tech hired the exact same offseason. This is year three for both of them. And that's two clubs, two colleges going in completely, completely different directions. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. If you enjoy this ACC breakdown, I've got you covered all 5 days next week. I'll be live from Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2024 ACC kickoff. Exclusive interviews with head coaches from the schools, the starting quarterbacks, and starting defensive players for all the schools in the ACC. It's going to be awesome. Anytime I go there to Radio Row, I always get some good nuggets and news about all of college football there, and I'm looking forward to having some of the ACC analysts like Wes Durham and Mark Packer on the show. I already know I'm going to get E.J. Manuel, who was a star locally and then got drafted by the Buffalo Bills, and Eddie Royal. Most of you growing up in Northern Virginia know the name Eddie Royal from his time high school in the state of Virginia and then Blacksburg and over to the Denver Broncos in the NFL. Appreciate everybody listening to the show today. Donald did a great job running the ones and twos. I'm off next Saturday. I'll see you the Saturday after that. You're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. I appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning routine, whether you're running around, running some errands, picking your kids up from soccer practice or something like that, or maybe you've got a game later today. We appreciate you tuning in to DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, and we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And on the Odyssey app, if you are enjoying the show, that's where you can support me during the week. It's easy. Just search 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday from Richmond, Virginia, live and local from 12 to 3 p.m. On the Odyssey app, you can rewind, run some errands, pause the show, and then pick up right where you left off. And so you can use the Odyssey app to check me out every day. We post the podcast available every day as well on the Odyssey app. So that's where you can check me out. And next week, I'm headed to Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2024 ACC kickoff, and this year is going to be a big one. Five live shows from Charlotte, North Carolina, because the ACC has three new schools, Stanford, Cal, and SMU. And so I wanted to do a quick ACC preview and talk a little Hokies right now with University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
College football, baby!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So, Donald, when I say the cream of the crop, when I say the top school, the top university in the ACC, who's the first team that comes to mind for you? Would you say the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Sweeney? I think that's probably the answer most people would say. I kind of think that Clemson has fallen off in my mind. Now, last year they went 9-4. They snapped a streak of 12 straight seasons with double-digit wins, all right? But three of their four losses came by one possession. What I don't like about Clemson this year is that Dabo has decided that NIL and the transfer portal is not for him. It's not for him. It's not the way he expects to run things in Clemson. Everybody's taking transfer portal guys. Clemson took in zero transfer portal guys. So they're still the best team in the ACC, but I just am not sure how long they can hold on to that top spot, taking in only newcomers as freshmen out of high school. Number two on most people's ACC preview will be Florida State. Now, head coach Mike Norvell doesn't have to replace 10 NFL draft picks and replaced his quarterback from last year, but they brought in the former Clemson back, DJ Ugalele, who is really talented. I mean, to be a big recruit, to get the starting job at Clemson as a freshman, you got to be good. It didn't work out. And now, of course, he will have his eyes set on beating Clemson this season. NC State surprised some people last year. I think they're going to be good. And then this could be the year for Miami. I do not believe it is, as I have Virginia Tech coming in as the fourth best team, and I think they could compete for an ACC title. That's because the Hokies avoid playing Florida State, and when they play Clemson, they get to do it in their backyard there in Blacksburg, and it opens the door for Virginia Tech to possibly be a dark horse in the league because Coach Brent Pry has a lot of momentum. This is year three, and he returns a ton of talented players on both sides of the ball. Most important, they've got their quarterback returning in Kyron Drones. And I've enjoyed covering the Hokies the last few years. I grew up a Hokies fan watching Michael Vick, Marcus Vick, Tyrod Taylor, Logan Thomas. And they've got another dual threat quarterback in Kyron Drones. And so the Baylor transfer finally got a job last year after Grant Wells went down with an injury. Even though all offseason I said, why would you start Grant Wells, Coach Pry? He did nothing for you the previous season. Year one with Coach Pry was a disaster. They didn't have their quarterback. The defense was all over the place. And they were not winning games. Losing out of conference games, like losing to ODU. Not a good way to start your tenure in charge of Virginia Tech, which should be the best football school in the state of Virginia and maybe the best football school in the DMV. They should be. They've got that pedigree from their past. But year two, he makes the change to Kyron Drones, and then boom, the offense explodes because of his dual threat capability, and tailback Bashal Tootin was spectacular. Tootin had 863 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's their workhorse back. He returns. They bring back their starting wide receiving core. They bring back a tight end, Nick Gallo, who was hurt for most of last season. They bring back so much talent on the offensive side of the ball. They hit the transfer portal to improve on the defensive side of the ball. This really could be a year in which the Hokies compete for an ACC title. They are building something. There's some serious momentum in Blacksburg, and I'm looking forward to talking with Coach Pry and Kyron Drones next week on AWOD Radio. But the receiving core, Ollie Jennings was hurt for most of last year, but he was a star at ODU and then transferred to Virginia Tech. Jalen Lane was the best wide receiver last year, probably. And then Steven Gosnell comes back as well. I think the question mark for the Hokies is the defensive line. Secondary, Dorian Strong is spectacular. He was, I think he was ranked one of the top 30 cornerbacks in college football by EA Sports. They also have Delaney as the other cornerback there. That's a good tandem that they've got there. Pretty good about linebacker, bringing in Sam Brunfeld. We'll see what happens here with the defensive line, but the Hokies' defense last year, the biggest issue was explosive plays. It was just like watching the Commanders. Their defense would do well, and then third down, they'd give up a 30-yard run, right? Or second and short, they'd give up a 30-yard pass. And it was those explosive plays that doomed them in a lot of games last year, but they still ended the season very strong, and they've got a favorable schedule. That's what's getting me the most excited about the Hokies this year, is they can come into ACC play undefeated. It's absolutely possible. Absolutely possible. So when you look at their schedule, it begins with a decently tough game against Vanderbilt on the road in Nashville, Tennessee. Then it's Marshall, who's tripped them up in the past, but you get them this year in Blacksburg. Then you go to ODU. That's been an issue in the past, but ODU's football team's not going in the right direction now. They have a new coach. And then it's Rutgers. Like, Hokies fans can dream about a solid season if they get to ACC play undefeated, 4-0. They haven't done that in the last 5, 6, 7 years. They've been tripped up in one of these early games. And then when they come to ACC play, it really gets started with a tough matchup. It will be a primetime game on ESPN from Hard Rock Stadium as the U hosts the Hokies. That'll be September 27th. Weird seeing Stanford on the road as their next ACC game before they return home for two must-win games, Boston College and Georgia Tech. But I do think that Hokies fans can dream of 8-9 wins this season. I don't think they get to 10. That'd be spectacular. But I think you can dream of 8 or 9 wins this season. And then another offseason where Coach Pry does a really good job of recruiting inside the state of Virginia. And that was his pitch to Blacksburg, right? Was we got to get back to the way where we dominated the Tidewater area. We dominated the D.C. area. We knew all about the best players in the entire East Coast, and they wanted to play in Blacksburg for Virginia Tech. And so I've got high expectations for this season, but it's just good to see him building something there. Whereas the other school in the ACC that I cover, UVA, it's all over the place. And I kind of think Coach Tony Elliott is on the hot seat and could lose his job if he doesn't have positive momentum this season. Coach Elliott at UVA, Coach Pry at Virginia Tech hired the exact same offseason. This is year 3 for both of them, and that's two clubs, two colleges going in completely, completely different directions. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. If you enjoy this ACC breakdown, I've got you covered all 5 days next week. I'll be live from Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2024 ACC kickoff. Exclusive interviews with head coaches from the schools, the starting quarterbacks, and starting defensive players for all the schools in the ACC. It's going to be awesome. Anytime I go there to Radio Row, I always get some good nuggets and news about all of college football there, and I'm looking forward to having some of the ACC analysts like Wes Durham and Mark Packer on the show. I already know I'm going to get EJ Manuel, who was a star locally and then got drafted by the Buffalo Bills, and Eddie Royal. Most of you growing up in Northern Virginia know the name Eddie Royal from his time high school in the state of Virginia and then Blacksburg and over to the Denver Broncos in the NFL. Appreciate everybody listening to the show today. Donald did a great job running the ones and twos. I'm off next Saturday. I'll see you the Saturday after that. You're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.